shame on the NFL. You talk about hypocrisy.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'll tell you, doesn't take long before there are things to talk about right here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, welcome to today's broadcast. Did you hear about the NFL protests, the St. Louis Rams players who came out to begin the game as they were being introduced, came out together with their hands up, supporting, showing solidarity with the protesters in the hands up, don't shoot sign. And the controversy surrounding that, did you hear about that? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, first, a heads up before we go any further. As the broadcast continues, my articulation should get clearer and clearer, but right now, I am fighting to get the words out properly, especially words with the letter S. Yes, I was at the dentist. I left there. Oh, now it's like an hour and a half ago, but I got three different fillings fixed at the same time. So I got some extra Novocaine, and my lips and my tongue are still very numb. So if some of you are listening, is Mike Sounder, is Dr. Brown normal? Yeah. No, Betsy, it was okay. I mean, it was not painful or anything, but just it took a long time to do everything. And I just drank some water, as I often do to get my throat clear, just drank some water. And some of it dripped out from my lips. You ever had that happen to you? Had a smoothie before, but drank that with a straw to be safe. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I'll tell you why I'm saying the NFL is being hypocritical. I'll explain that to you in a moment. But first, I have a larger question for you. If an Asian leader sees problems in the Hispanic church, and has worked with Hispanics and sees problems in the Hispanic church, can the Asian leader address those things generally to everyone? Does the Asian leader have the right to, or is that only something that Hispanics can do? If a Hispanic leader saw issues in the black church and worked with black Christians and was burdened about these things, let's say had a talk show like this, and wanted to address them and speak about them, does the Hispanic leader have the right to, or must that be addressed by blacks? Or conversely, if a black leader sees problems with a white church or white society and has worked in those circles, now is burdened to address those things publicly, is it okay for that person to do it, or must it be only a white person? In the same way, if I have issues, if I have concerns, if the Lord burdens me, if I see things that need to be addressed in white society and black society, in Jewish society and Gentile society, in Hispanic society and Asian society, or in any other ethnic group or diverse group, do I have the right to address these things, or must it be addressed only by those in-house, those who are of the same skin color or of the same ethnicity? 866-34-TRUTH. This came up the other day when someone was basically telling me that since I'm white, I did not have the right to say that Black America needed better leadership. No, actually, the word was deserved better leadership, and that the best voices are the ones that are not being heard nationally, and the ones that are being heard nationally are often doing more harm than good. Someone challenged my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I doubt the person ever read it based on their review. But they said, how in the world can I address this since I'm heterosexual? How can I address issues of homosexuality? So how far does this go? 866-34-TRUTH. We come back. Got some shocking quotes for you, and I'll explain to you why I am saying the NFL is being so miserably hypocritical. We'll be right back.
Change the world. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished.
Those were the words of Louis Farrakhan speaking about the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. His comments part of his keynote address at the Black United Summit International Conference at Morgan State University in Baltimore. Many of his comments got standing ovations there, at least from some of the crowd, if not from all. And he quite directly went after black preachers and even leaders like Jesse Jackson and our president, Barack Obama. 866-34-TRUTH. My question is, if I see things that concern me, if I am concerned about the voice of Louis Farrakhan or a voice not as volatile, but say Al Sharpton, if those things concern me, if I feel that the voices that really need to be in the forefront in America, speaking to the nation on behalf of black Americans and speaking to black Americans, that the best voices are not the ones being heard, can I address that, or must that come from within the black community? 866-34-TRUTH. I am going to, as always, be candid, and my candor is birthed by love and birthed by desire for truth. My latest article asks the question, since when has the gospel been popular? You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest article. But before I play some more clips from Louis Farrakhan, in fact, I want to play one more, then I want to get to the NFL, then I want to get to your calls. This is what Louis Farrakhan has to say about preachers with their speaking peace and seeking to be peacemakers. This is what he has to say about black preachers. Clip number two.
You preachers, your day of being the pacifier for the white man's tyranny on black people. You got to know they're not going to hear you anymore.
Yeah, so these are black Christian leaders that Louis Farrakhan is attacking, black Christian leaders who are saying, let us not riot, let us not loot, let us be peaceful in our protest, in our demonstration where there is injustice. Let's deal with that, but let's deal with that in a constructive way. Louis Farrakhan is saying, you are not going to be heard anymore. Now, is he an extreme voice? Yes, but others are not far behind, which is tragic, which will not advance the cause of justice at all. Now, I'm going to get to the NFL in one moment, 866-34-TRUTH, but there is a big problem with what's going on with regard to response to Ferguson. It is the biggest issue of all. By all means, we need to understand why so many in the black American community mistrust the police and the justice system. When I say we, I mean America as a whole and white America. Absolutely. You, my faithful callers, have helped all of us understand better. When some of you have called, you know, pastors' kids, godly people, and talked about racial profiling and talked about mistreatment and talked about horror stories you have lived through. The problem is, my namesake, the deceased 18-year-old Michael Brown, is not the poster boy. He's the wrong poster boy for this. Because, of course, it's going to be terribly divisive. Because he's filmed in a criminal act and pushing a small store click while he steals stuff. Is this the first time he ever did it? God knows. But he's filmed doing that. And the best forensic evidence indicates that the policeman was attacked, or at least there was a battle for his gun. And by all accounts, Michael Brown did not obey the police officer. So even if the police officer acted wrongly, even if the grand jury was wrong, even if the forensic evidence is misleading, even if these things were possible, this is the wrong poster boy. You cannot do this. there's got to be sense about it to say, okay, if this many innocent, unarmed blacks are being killed by police, if it's happening that frequently, then find a case where the person was legitimately innocent. Find a case where you don't have an act of theft or robbery with a violent act on it. You don't have that on video. Otherwise, all you're going to do is just inflame both sides all the more. Now, before I get to your calls, here's what grieves me about the NFL. Do you remember Michael Sam drafted first openly gay player in the NFL? Michael Sam gets drafted. And when he gets drafted in the seventh round, and we understand from some reports, at least allegedly, that owners were called to put pressure on them to consider drafting him because the NFL thought it would look bad if nobody drafts him. So he ends up getting drafted, and there it is. Oh, it just happened. The media is just there, and it just spontaneously happens that he kisses his boyfriend. And this is aired everywhere on national TV. I mean, I couldn't put on the TV to watch sports or go to a news source online where this was not the big feature. Well, what happens? One NFL player, former Super Bowl champion Derek Ward, so not with the NFL currently, but said, I'm sorry about that. Michael Sam is no bueno for doing that on national TV. He said, man, you got little kids looking at the draft. I can't believe ESPN allowed that to happen. Yeah, and by the way, ESPN did not just allow that to happen. ESPN was actively part of that happening by they were so into this story for weeks and weeks before and after. All right. Well, he's not with the NFL currently, I don't think, Derek Ward, but Don Jones, safety with Miami Dolphins, expressed his disapproval when he saw this is two men kissing on national television. He tweets out horrible and OMG, oh my God. He immediately is fined by the Dolphins. He was ordered to pay an undisclosed fine. He was barred from team activities until he finished training for his recent comments made on social media. We met with Don today about respect, discrimination, and judgment. These comments are not consistent with the values and standards of our program. Okay, now, fast forward to yesterday in the NFL. St. Louis Rams, St. Louis playing at home. I don't know the exact distance from the stadium to Ferguson, but just when I checked St. Louis to Ferguson, Missouri, it was maybe 12 miles. So you're talking about very close, Ferguson and St. Louis. There were 50 additional police who were there at the stadium to make sure that the protests did not flow over into the stadium event. They were there to ensure that there was no violent incident of any kind. And then you have five Rams players come out with their hands up saying, hands up, don't shoot, to show solidarity with the protesters. This has outraged many in the sports world and beyond. It outraged the police who said, we are there to protect the game, to protect the people who are supporting the industry, who are supporting you. And you do this in something that incites protests and that is actually standing with a false claim. And what does the NFL say? They're not going to do anything. That, friends, is the grossest of hypocrisy. That is political correctness to an obscene level. You find the one guy and bar him. The team does it immediately. You find him and you bar him from team activities until he goes through some kind of sensitivity training. And yet, these NFL players don't even get a rebuke. They're not even told this is inappropriate. They're not even told that. And look, when Miami Heat players came out wearing hoodies in solidarity with Trayvon Martin, whatever the case was with him, okay, the wrong place at the wrong time, George Zimmerman being over-aggressive, whatever it is that happened there, you do not have him filmed a little bit earlier robbing a store and shoving a clerk, and you do not have verified reports of him not obeying police orders. So for the NBA to let that go and the players wanting to show solidarity wearing hoodies and saying, hey, we could be mistaken for being somebody. Because Trayvon Martin, by all accounts, was just walking through the neighborhood. He wasn't breaking into a house, right? So, no, I'm not expecting the NFL to be the champion of justice, but you want to talk about hypocrisy in action. To find the one player who just tweets out horrible and, oh my God, after watching two men kiss and be celebrated in the media for doing so. This guy's now going to be a football player. But the other teammates, of course, didn't last long for whatever reason, but didn't make it in the NFL, at least for now. And then you're not going to say anything about this. Come on, if you want to send a message that we're grieved about injustice in America, then find a right message to send. But not one that's being used by protesters when you get the cops there to protect you. All right, I've had my say for now. We'll hear from you as soon as we come back. I'm going straight to the phones.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk?
Ah, that again, the voice of Louis Farrakhan, I would say inciting hatred and anger, something that will not produce justice. What is he, past 80 years old? It's amazing how strong he is. He had a serious bout with cancer a few years ago. But that's a voice that we don't need to hear. When I say we, I mean America as a whole, Black America, but America as a whole. Here's a voice we do need to hear. Benjamin Watson, tight end for the New Orleans Saints, grieved over what happened in Ferguson, grieved about the pervasive injustice in our society, often experienced much more by people of color, but putting out a wonderfully wise post. As of a few days ago, it was shared 427,000 times on Facebook, had more than 760,000 likes, more than 78,000 comments, and he points to the gospel. By the way, Charles Barkley, former NBA star, spoke disparagingly of the Ferguson looters and praised police officers. 866-34-TRUTH. Barkley said the true story came out from the grand jury testimony, key forensic evidence, and several Black witnesses that supported Officer Darren Wilson's story. Let me say it again. I am 100% convinced that white America still does not get the perspective of Black America to make these broad divisions in terms of injustice and in terms of police brutality where it exists. I'm convinced of that. That's evident. I'm saying pick the right case to make into a national story. Pick the right case, and then the nation can rally together. But when you pick the wrong case, when you have the wrong public examples, and then when you immediately think of the looting and the arson and all that, it only hurts the cause. Now, do I even have the right to address that because I have white skin? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start with D in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome. Thanks for taking my call. I totally agree with you. And as a Black American, sometimes it definitely feels like you are in a fishbowl, and if you speak out against even our own race when you see these problems, that you're ostracized.
Yeah, Dee, why do you think that is? I mean, I've had Black pastors tell me that when they embrace certain conservative moral positions politically, they were told that they weren't Black enough. And that listen, I'm not claiming to understand, but it seems that Blackness is now associated with certain socio-political stands as opposed to the color of one's skin. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
It's not something that you can't understand because that's exactly what it is. I share a lot of conservative political views, and even though I'll have specific examples in my family of what I'm saying and why I hold that view, the conversation just kind of gets aggressive on the other person's part, and they think that you somehow just have been misinformed or you're not up with your race or something of that nature. I think that what happened in Ferguson is sad because no one should lose their life over not walking in the street or for not following a command. However, we're asking police officers to protect us, to make good decisions, to be fair, and they're doing it all in a split second. They're not God. They don't know what where it's going to end, and they have fear. They have concerns, and they also make mistakes, and we should definitely hold them accountable for those mistakes. However, we weren't there, and there's a process, and we want it to work for us. Case in point, O.J. Simpson. We wanted it to work, quote-unquote, work for him, and we celebrated, even though it appeared that he killed his wife. However, in this case, we say, oh, no, it's not working. It's not working because it did not get the outcome that we wanted. And so any criticism of that is wrong. They do it, you know, and I even feel bad even saying it, but even on college campuses, the things that they say in campus, if they said them at a white university as opposed to a black university, they would close the university.
Yeah, Dee, listen, I appreciate you weighing in with such clarity. And yes, we want to see justice. There's a right way to go about it. Thank you for weighing in. Again, a fundamental question. Can a black leader address problems in the white church? Can an Asian leader address problems in the Hispanic church or society? How far can we go? Do we have to earn a certain level of credibility? What's acceptable, what's not? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey. Sonia, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad that you repeated the question because I think there are two different issues. I think if it is a leader within the black or white church, Asian church, yes, anyone who is a part of the church can address the church because the church is not about color of people's skin. We should be one in unity where it comes to what the Bible says and the standard of Christ, regardless of our race. However, the problem is that the church or the church community in our country and probably all over the world is very divided because we are not unified. There are black churches, there are Hispanic churches, there are so many different faces of what people think church should be. However, Christ, his purpose was that his church would be united and not a church that is divided based upon race, whether it be people who meet in a black church on Sunday. The church should be one where there are all nations that stream to it, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. However, when a leader, whether they be black, Asian, or whatever color they are, or whatever socioeconomic background they're coming from, if they are addressing the church, they do need to be careful. Because even, I believe it's in Colossians 3:11, it says that when we are trying to restore a brother or sister who's caught in sin, we have to be careful that we're not tempted ourselves.
Right.
And that could be in many different ways. We could be tempted to be judgmental, to be critical, to not get the facts, to use our own what you would call racism or our own prejudices.
Exactly. And let me just jump in. You make great points across the board. I got to take a break. That's why I'm jumping in now. But whatever we do with humility, recognizing our own blind spots. And then we speak out of burden and love, but with humility and always with open ears. Great call. Thank you. Folks, stay right there. Taking a bunch more calls on the other side of the break. You can keep listening online. If you lose me on the air, keep listening online at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on Listen Live. Okay, friends, something really special and plenty of time for the holidays. The Tree of Life, Messianic Version of the Bible, hardcover. It's $30 plus postage. First ever work of its kind with Messianic Jewish sensitivities written by a team of Messianic Jewish Christian scholars. It's only $30 plus postage this week. Call today. You get it for $20 and we pay the postage. Wonderful for your own reading and study. A great holiday gift. Give us a call now to order. 1-800-278-9978. As many copies as you like. 1-800-278-9978. Or right from the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I am saying, as a white American follower of Jesus, a messianic Jewish follower of Jesus, that the voices like those of Louis Farrakhan and even Al Sharpton are not helping the larger cause of justice in America, are not helping fix the very real problems that do exist in terms of justice in minority communities and black communities in particular. They are hurting things more than helping things. And to the extent they stir up hatred, anger, or fight against the justice system entirely, it is destructive. It is destructive. And I am saying that what I believe are the best voices and the most sane voices and the clearest voices in the black American society, in the church and outside of the church, are the ones getting limited attention and are the ones that are not getting asked to speak to the crowds in Ferguson. Do I have the right to say that? Do you differ with my perspective? One more clip before we go to the phones. Listen again to Louis Farrakhan. He is speaking at a Black Leadership Summit, Black United Summit International Conference at Morgan State University in Baltimore. This is what he had to say with regard to preachers in America, black preachers who are calling for calm and calling for peaceful protest. He calls them pacifiers. Clip number 3.
Stop this kind of weak preaching when judgment has hit America. You got to prepare your people for what is coming down. Prosperity doctrine. There won't be no prosperity for you. The hand of God has touched America. Touched her wealth that got the slaves so attracted to America. But God is after you.
Well, I agree with him speaking against the carnal prosperity message, but that's it, especially as he calls for, well, anything but peacemaking. 866-34-TRUTH. You say, yeah, but he's an extreme voice. Hey, there are a lot of people at that conference. I don't know if, you know, maybe it's 500-700. I don't know. But there are other leaders there, and there was a certain resonating of the message that is dangerous and destructive and will not produce justice and righteousness. Simply will not. Let's go to Manhattan. Emanuela, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much, Michael. I would just like to make a few comments because I cannot have a discussion with you as the previous caller did. Number one, you would have to be a part of the black community and a part of the culture from which these young men came from, and also know something about Hispanic culture in order and Asian culture in order to address everything, but you seem to want to touch and grab here, and I stopped listening to you for a while, and today I heard something, and I flipped back, and I said, oh, I know him, and so here I am. But firstly...
So you're, just to understand, you're white, correct?
No, I'm black.
Well, how can you talk to me as a white person, then?
Because I am black.
All right, but you're telling me I'm wrong as a white person to address these things. Don't you have to be white to address me? And to tell me I'm wrong?
I'm telling you that as a white person, you cannot come in and say which black leaders are not being helpful to the situation. Why? Because you haven't lived in it. You don't know what created it.
You hold it, because I'm going to give you a chance to speak, Emanuela. But many black leaders have told me this, and black callers have told me this, and I've listened carefully for years and years and years. So I still don't have the right to speak because I'm white? You speak when we come back, all right? Just got a break here. Back to you, all right?
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the light. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. To be as clear as I can be, and then we go back to Emmanuel, in Manhattan, and our phone lines are jammed. I will get to every call that I can. As a servant of the Lord, as someone called to America and to the nations, as someone who cares about speaking the truth regardless of how it's going to be perceived, I say that Louis Farrakhan is not helping Black America with his rhetoric. And I'm saying anyone who incites anger and hatred and violence is not helping Black America or white America. And if it was an Asian leader saying things that were destructive, or a Hispanic leader, or a Native American leader, or a white leader, or a Jewish leader, or a Gentile leader, that's all immaterial. If they're saying things that are destructive, then we address those things that are destructive. And you don't have to be the same skin color in order to address it. Otherwise, I could say Louis Farrakhan doesn't have the right to say anything about whites, ever. Ralph Sharpton can't say anything about whites. Or Ben Carson can't say anything about whites. Or anybody who is not of that skin color. Nor can a caller correct me unless they're of my skin color. I don't buy that for a split second. Sensitivity, yes. Listening with open ears, yes. Being informed as much as possible, yes. But we can't be convicted and speak out unless we're of the same skin color or ethnicity. I don't buy that. Emanuela, back to you. I will sit and listen.
Michael, I don't know how you think you have enough expertise of behavior in the Black community with young boys in order to address the situation, nor how where did you get your experience of Black leaders. Farrakhan has the experience. Now, it's a fact that the Black young men are always the victims, and the whites are always the perpetrators. And it's always the news reporters and people like you who are telling the Blacks, be peaceful, be good, be religious, be this, and we'll get peace. And we don't get peace. We have been out of slavery only for 100 and some years. We were in slavery almost 400 years. There's a lot of work to be done. I cannot comment on Sarah Palin and what's going on in Alaska. Why? Because I don't have any expertise of what's going on there. I don't know the situation, and you don't know the situation.
How do you know that?
I know because of what you're saying, Michael.
Oh, so when every Black caller differs with you and agrees with me, they
don't
have...
I'm not talking about every Black caller. I have... You don't know what my background is.
No, no, Emmanuel, but hang on. You know that I don't have experience. I listen. I learn. I pray. I read. I study.
I do,
okay?
Too.
All right, fine. And I differ with you categorically. By the way, for the record, more whites are killed by Blacks than Blacks killed by whites. For the record, you made a grossly wrong statement. But in point of fact, for a long time, I have been saying that white America has a major blind spot and does not understand the perspective of Black America. And that white America does not recognize racism when it's there, and that white America does not recognize the pervasive amount of police brutality and unjust prison sentences that come towards Black America. Now, are you going to dismiss me for saying that because you agree with that?
When you said that this young man stole something, he hasn't been convicted of stealing a thing. In fact, it came out in the grand jury hearing that the policeman, Mr. Wilson, I think, didn't even know that the theft had been committed.
No, that's incorrect.
When he had this altercation about walking in the middle
first
of the street.
First, he told him to get off the street. He didn't. And then...
Yeah, he didn't know about the theft.
Then, immediately after that, the word came in, and that's when he saw this is the guy in the theft. All right, so you're supporting Louis Farrakhan's call for violence,
Let me tell you what I'm thinking.
No, Emmanuela, hang on. I just want to be clear.
No, you're not clear. I can tell you.
Tell you what. We have a bunch of callers wanting to weigh in who are going to be respectful. Okay, I was going to let you speak more, but not with junk like that. And not denying video evidence of a robbery. That's my whole point. Please hear me. It's the wrong poster boy. All right, I'll tell you, as a white American, for white America, it's the wrong poster boy. It's tragic that he's dead. All right? But he is the wrong poster boy. There must be a better case to use. There must be, that will give evidence to police brutality where it exists. and to police corruption where it exists. There must be better cases available. Probably they are, but the police have immediately looked into them and addressed them. And where they haven't, then let's draw attention to that. Rather than calling to rebuke me for taking issue with Louis Farrakhan, how does that help? All right. Let's go to Arlington, Virginia. That's where we were going. All right, let's go to back to New York. Holly, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
All right, first of all, thank you so much for, you know, attacking this issue, because I think we do need to have a conversation. I'm black, and I believe that we need to have a conversation about this. I'm not necessarily happy with everyone, you know, in the leadership that I'm hearing about this, and definitely not Farrakhan. There is a whole group of black conservative Christians, all right, who do not agree with all of this radical stuff that Farrakhan is talking, but we do understand, all right, that there is a problem and it is systemic. When I first heard about the shooting of Michael Brown, the shooting of Trayvon Martin, all of this stuff going on, first I was thinking, oh, well, maybe these are some rogue police officers. Maybe they're just rogue. Maybe, you know, somebody just needs to, you know, talk about what's going on with them personally. But now that we, and not only me, but my family and black people across the line, we are seeing that this is looking like it's really systemic now, because they are doing these things and they are shooting down our children and they are getting off scot-free. All right, we just had something in Israel where some young men were shot. I think they were killed or something like that. And there was a big thing about it. This white young lady in Virginia, all right, that was missing. This black man was just walking by her, and they had a three-state, they had a big old thing. But this man could shoot this person. Judge, jury, and executioner can shoot this black boy down in the street, and then he laid in the street there for 4 hours. That is not justice. Justice is blind. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It has to be the same.
Yeah, Holly, I absolutely agree with you in terms of it having to be the same. And the point I'm making, and thank you for the comments and for your spirit in giving them, the point I'm making is because my namesake, Michael Brown, was filmed earlier in a very ugly robbery, you know, broad daylight, just grabbing stuff and then angrily shoving the little clerk who looked terrified, and then, by all accounts, not obeying police orders, that if we want to draw attention to any systemic problems that do exist and to mistreatment of blacks by police, the justice system, whatever it is, then we need to find a more righteous case. You know, not moving a body, I think that has to do with forensics and things like that. But so I'm agreeing that there are issues. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's find a better case to rally around. By the way, who knows the name of Gilbert Collar? Gilbert Collar. I never heard of him until this morning. He's a white kid killed by a black cop, unarmed, on drugs, and there was a push to get an indictment, but the black cop was not indicted. This happened in Mobile, Alabama, within the last few years. Some say there's a double standard. Others say, hey, there are more police being killed by criminals than unarmed people being killed by police. You say, yeah, it's the job of the police to enforce it. Yeah, I understand the argument. That's what I'm saying. Let's find better voices and better poster boy for something like this. Look, when you have the boy's stepfather screaming, burn this expletive down before the riots and the arsons, how's that help the cause? Find a better case. Look, there was a young black woman who refused, as I recall reading this, there was a young black woman who refused to surrender her seat on a bus in the days of segregation. They were going to rally around her. Then they found out that she was an unwed teenager who was pregnant. And they thought, this will not fly as a national image. This is what I read civil rights leaders discussed. When Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus, civil rights leaders said, this is the right person. This is the right person. She is an older woman. She, I don't mean elderly, but she's an older woman, not a teenager, not pregnant, out of wedlock, working her job, and she refuses to give up her seat. That was the right person to rally around, the right case to rally around. 866-34-TRUTH. I did not want to cut off a caller with just a few seconds before the break. So as soon as we go, come back, we'll go straight to your calls. And by all means, read the conciliatory statement by Benjamin Watson. He is black. He's a tight end for the New Orleans Saints. And read what he wrote about this situation and ultimately pointing to the gospel as our only hope.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I think it was a lot what a lot of people were thinking, but didn't quite know how to express it. And for whatever reason, God gave me the words to put on paper, and it kind of resonated with a lot of people. But I think it's really important that we take a step back sometimes and think about the other side before we make accusations and assumptions.
That was the voice of tight end from the New Orleans Saints, Benjamin Watson, on his post regarding Ferguson. 866-34-TRUTH. I just noticed during the break, posting on Twitter, who are you to decide who is the black people's leader? Reverend Sharpton is an extremist like those ultra-Orthodox Jewish extremists. You always come out to defend amazing beating on poor late Michael Brown. Shame on you. I can't stand you. Who gave you a PhD? I wrote back, said that he's not required to listen to the show, and wished him peace and blessing. Hey, friends, take this from a white American. All right. How about that? Take this from a white American. If you want to deal with a justice problem that exists in white America towards black America, then take advice from a white American. This is the wrong case to build on. Am I allowed to say that? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jane in Capitol Hill, Washington. Thanks so much. Washington, D.C. Sorry. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, hello, Mike. I've been listening to your program, and I just want to comment. I'm not going to take up much time because I know there are a lot of people waiting. I do agree with you as far as conduct and behavior is concerned with Michael Brown going into the store. That was not good. That was bad. I blame the parents. And let's go further. We're ignorant, and sometimes, you know, when we're not educated and we're poor, it breeds violence. Let's go to Farrakhan for a minute. I listened to him. He has some good points. I think that if you look at the Google.com, A Little Black Wall Street, 1921, that is an excellent a piece of material to look at because I think that those black people did exactly the right thing, and they were completely destroyed. I believe that if we were to rise to the occasion, I think that middle white America may be afraid of us. I think Farrakhan wants to be equal but separate. That's what I read in a lot of his messages. That's all I have to say.
All right. Hey, Jane, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate the call, and I'm Googling Little Black Wall Street as you suggested. 866-34-TRUTH. Thomas in Providence, Rhode Island, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to approach this from a different perspective. I don't know if you'll allow me the time to do so, but I wanted to talk about the hypocrisy and also the irony of this whole conversation being coming from your particular program. I don't believe that the amount of melanin that someone has in their body, you know, gives them a position, you know, either way in a situation that goes on anywhere in the world. The hypocrisy of this, Dr. Brown, is you come on the radio on an almost daily basis, and you point out to some degree, you know, the complete bias in the media towards Israel, and also you point out the anti-Semitic reporting and coverage or lack of coverage as it pertains to, you know, Jews even in this country. And for the most part, I'm in complete agreement with you. But you act as if you are completely blinded to the bias in the media towards African Americans. Not only that, but you are an active participant of it, and you are very good at what you do. I mean,
Could you give me an example of how I'm ignorant of what I'm saying, that there is police brutality and injustice that white America
that
does not understand?
I said that you act like you are completely blinded to.
All right, give me an example of how, please.
Give you an example of how?
Yeah,
all
please.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know how much time you're going to give me. First of all, you keep talking about the situation, you know, that took place between Officer Brown and Michael Brown. You know, as a matter of fact, coming from the perspective of Darren Wilson's, you know,
Thomas, you made a very, hang on. You made a really strong statement, which is 100% false. Thomas, hang on, okay? I'm trying to be fair with every caller. I'm going to have to continue this into the next hour, which I gladly will, but you need to hear me. I have said, if the reports are true, I have written and said that the evidence leaves things open to both sides. I have raised questions as to why Officer Wilson did not have more damage to his face, okay? I have said all that. I have written all that, and yet you choose to ignore it and come on the air and make an ugly accusation. I'm all for having a blind spot exposed, but not based on a lie, sir.
Well, if you allow me, are you going to allow me to speak, or are you going to create a narrative? Did you just turn me off, or did you hang up on me? Am I still on the phone?
You are on the phone. I put you on hold because it's very impolite if you keep trying to talk over. We can't have two conversations.
I wasn't trying to talk over me.
Oh, gosh. Tell you what, Thomas, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do something unusual, all right? Stay right there. We've got a bunch of other callers. Stay right there. If you can hold for a couple of minutes, we'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give this thought, all right? But I can't give you 7 minutes and give everybody else 30 seconds. That's totally unfair to everyone else. It's saying you're the only one with an opinion that matters. That's unfair to all the other callers who are trying to get through today. But let me make this very clear. I want you to give me one factual instance where I act as if I am blind to media bias that you claim is against Black America, okay? And one example of my hypocrisy. I will repent of it on national radio in a heartbeat, appreciating you helping me to see better. Otherwise, you got the blind spot, sir. All right, fair enough? Fair enough? So stay right there. Betsy will confirm that you can stay for a moment. Alan, Barbara, Gregory, Josh, if you can hang on for a couple minutes, I want to get to your calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH. We will continue this conversation into the next hour. Friends, I love truth. I love truth. I don't like false accusations against anybody. When they're against me, that's the least of it. I'm fix that or ignore it. But it's others, that's dangerous. So we have to listen to each other, all right? Does not help to make false blanket accusations. Take advantage of a great opportunity to get a great new translation of the Bible, the first ever team effort, Messianic Jewish scholars, Christian scholars working together to produce a Bible with Messianic Jewish sensitivities. It is called the Tree of Life version, normally $30 plus postage, but this week, and we'll get it to you in time for the holidays, you can get it for $20 and we'll pay the postage, as many as you like, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or on the website AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, I believe if we'll conduct ourselves with humility, with respect, if we'll listen before we speak, then we have the right to speak into any situation God calls us to address. Is your head spinning with everything happening in the world and society? Fear not. We'll get everything sorted out today right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we had quite a passionate discussion in the first hour of the broadcast today. I asked a question about whether you have to be part of a community to be able to address it. Do you have to be Hispanic to address the Hispanic community? You have to be white to address the white community? You have to be black to address the black community? You have to be Asian to address the Asian community? You have to be Jewish to address the Jewish community across the border? Can we, if we listen, if we learn, can we speak into different situations? Can I, as a white American, part of the church, follower of Jesus, and a lover of justice and truth, can I address issues and say a voice like Louis Farrakhan is not helpful to black America? Or using my namesake, Michael Brown, as the poster boy for calling attention to police brutality is a strategic mistake because of the video of Michael Brown robbing a store. And according to all reports, not obeying police orders, is and then his stepfather calling to burn down the city, is that the right case to focus on if we do want to draw attention to the very real problems that do exist? Charles Barkley, by the way, a famous basketball player and TV sports commentator, said we have to be really careful with the cops because if it wasn't for the cops, we would be living in the wild, wild west in our neighborhoods. We can't pick out certain incidents that don't go our way and act like the cops are all bad. You know how bad some of these neighborhoods would be if it wasn't for the cops. This is a statement made by Charles Barkley. Before the break, I was speaking with Thomas in Providence, Rhode Island, who said that while I'm acutely aware of anti-Semitic bias in the media or anti-Israel reporting, that I act as if I am completely blind to media bias against blacks. And I challenged him on that statement, asked him to produce one example. So, Thomas, thanks for holding. Back to you. I'm eager to hear an example that will expose my willful blindness.
Okay. So, as among many, one of the things you do when you come on the radio and you talk about this, you talk about it and you pretend to talk about it like you're talking about it from both sides of the issue. Usually when you have a murder case or any type of criminal case and you're talking about it from both sides, you're talking about it from the prosecution standpoint and their narrative of events and the defense's standpoint and their narrative of events. What you failed to point out here is that the prosecution and defense are both on the same side. Okay, that's one. Two.
Thomas, hang on. That's all false. Number one, I do give both sides. I wrote an article.
Tell me what the prosecution side is.
Thomas, please don't interrupt. I'll let you speak. So first thing, I've given both sides. That's on this. I've written on both sides.
Can you tell me both sides? Thomas, hang on.
I wrote an article on Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, and gave both sides. Here's a black perspective. Here's a white perspective. Okay,
I've gotten criticized.
I got criticized for giving both sides of the story and this event. Now, of course, prosecution and the police are on the same side. They are all part of what's supposed to be law and order. Now, the question is, was it fairly represented? I said the fact it was a white prosecutor with nine white Americans and only three African Americans makes it look bad from the start. I said that. And I said that the prosecutor has been accused of being always pro-police. I said that on the air. What would you like me to say?
See, am I here now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. I understand this is your show, Dr. Brown, and I respect that, right? But, you know, too often, I mean, when you put that phone number out there and you say, call up my show, it's like telling people to come into the yard with you and play ball. And sometimes when you don't like the way the game is going, you want to take your ball and say, get out of my yard, right?
No, wrong. Actually, it's only if someone's disrespectful, or gets off topic, we have to cut them off. Otherwise, we put hostile callers up first.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I don't know if it's sad or it's amusing, but I was criticized on one conservative website, presumably by a white commenter, who mocked me for saying that there were two sides to the story in Ferguson, who mocked me, said, great article aside from this one point, and mocked the fact that I said that the evidence can, you can argue it either way, that you could say the forensic evidence was clear and you had witness testimonies that were clear. I said, but what about the fact that Officer Wilson was relatively unmarked and was in no hurry to go to the hospital, and that other witnesses contradicted the idea that young Michael Brown physically ran to charge him. I don't mind getting attacked both sides. That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. So what do we do with this? Here's an article. Results found that 6% of a high-risk, high-crime African-American community in Chicago was involved in 70% of the gun-related murders. Again, more white Americans are killed by blacks than black Americans killed by whites. I'm not focusing on that. I'm saying there really are issues with injustice and brutality that we need to look at. That is why so many of black callers have told me about mistreatment they or their kids experienced. I am sensitive to that, and that grieves me and concerns me. I'm saying that the Louis Farrakhans of the world are not helping the cause. They are hurting it. Playing one clip and then going straight to the phones. I appreciate your patience if you've been trying to get through since last hour. Joey, let's play clip number 5, where Louis Farrakhan, bringing the keynote address at the Black United Summit International Conference at Morgan State University in Baltimore, is speaking against President Obama. Clip number 5.
Tonight in Ferguson, everybody's on edge. White folks ain't never been on edge after they killed a black man. Tonight, they're on edge. So on edge that our president has come out from behind the curtain to ask black young people, cool it. That's not our way. What brings you out of the shadows? Eric Holder, what brought you out now to tell black youth to be peaceful?
Yes, I am saying, as a white American, that is harmful, not helpful. And I'm saying, as a follower of Jesus and someone who cares about justice, I have every right to say that, as also one who listens constantly and learns constantly from those with different perspectives, different background, and those who differ with me. All of our team can attest that when we're on controversial subjects, if I know someone is going to disagree with me, I try to get to them first to give them the opportunity to. All we ask is that they stay on topic and that they are courteous. That's all. And obviously, can't use bad language. It's self-evident. Let's go to Boston. Gregory, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Okay, so I just have a couple of quick comments. I'll try to be succinct. I do agree with you that Farrakhan may not be the best example of a black leader, and what he's advocating is not in keeping with the character of the kingdom. But I think I heard Al Sharpton speak for about 14 minutes, and I don't think that he said anything that may have been inconsistent with the cause of justice. And just one other thing, I've listened to you for quite some time now, and I think that my only contention with the case in Ferguson that I think you haven't pointed out was the fact that the grand jury process, the process itself, was unique from most other grand jury process in the sense that the prosecutor gave more evidence than is normally given in a grand jury case, whereas you just need to give the salient points to prove probable cause. It almost acted as if this grand jury was a trial, whereas it should have been, is it just enough to take this to trial, to take this a step further? And basically, we that the whole process itself seemed unique and probably even flawed. And that concerned me. That wasn't pointed out by much people. And one other thing before you comment. One thing that hasn't been, at least I haven't seen any evidence that I've reviewed so far, there is no indication of the distance that Michael Brown was from the police officer when the last 10 shots were fired. I haven't seen what distance he was from the officer. And why I think that is important, if he was, say, 20 to 30 feet away, you wouldn't have need to fire 10 shots to subdue an unarmed black man. That's my contribution.
Yeah, thank you, Gregory. First, I've heard so many contradictions in terms of testimony. You know, what we do know is that he was not in a posture of hands raised over his head when he was killed. I mean, that the autopsies all confirmed and other forensic evidence confirms that as according to everything I understand. And the distance in terms of, you know, him charging the cop and different stories there, I have to review that to see what was actually said. The point I've been making is I've said there's ambiguity because of the different testimonies. Some we know have just been dismissed and people repeating what others said. You know, my issue has been, say, with the NFL, when you got players coming out with the hands up, don't shoot, you know, sending that message and the NFL does nothing about it. That is not a helpful message to send. And that is one that was consciously standing with the protesters. And you got police outside the stadium, 50 extra cops to make sure that protesters don't disrupt anything. So, you know, that's an issue to me. But this much we do know is that extra evidence, a lot of evidence was submitted to the grand jury. I understood it the opposite of you. You could be correct, sir, but I understood the opposite. I understood that what happened was they wanted to go overboard because of the national attention to make sure they presented all possible evidence. Because otherwise, the grand jury, the prosecutor would just say, I don't think there's enough evidence to indict, so I'm just going to present that to prove it. I understood from what I read that they went overboard to do the opposite in order to say, okay, here's everything because there's so much national scrutiny of this. Otherwise, go ahead.
Sorry. The only difficulty with that is that when you almost have a document dump, what happens is that you need to direct the grand jury as to how you need to evaluate the amount of evidence that is before you. I think from the lawyer's perspective, you give enough to prove probable cause, and then when a trial is ensued or this person is actually charged, then the proliferation of evidence is given. This case was a bit different, and I think it will be good to just look at that. You'd see that the whole grand jury process itself seemed unique. I won't say that it's flawed because it's difficult for me to say that from this perspective. I think it's just a bit different,
yeah.
And it's not afforded to the normal defendant.
Yeah, my guess, Gregory, and I'll check on it. I'm sure you will as well. But my guess, sir, is that under normal circumstances, this would have been in and out, wouldn't have even gone to a grand jury. In other words, they would have looked at it, they would have gotten the officer's testimony, they would have looked at forensics and said, okay, you know, it jives, we don't need to take this to court.
Okay.
That's probably the way it would have gone. Now, is there too much assumption of innocence that goes towards a police officer or presumption of innocence? That's another case. Now, that's another discussion that we could have. And
okay.
The justice system when it comes to the police. But listen, Gregory, I've got to get to some of the calls, but thank
okay.
you. And as always, sir, my ears are open. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, I am not claiming to know what happened in Ferguson any more than you. I'm not. What I am saying is that if you want a right case to present to America to get the anger, the righteous anger of Americans to draw attention to real injustice that does exist, this is not the right case. And to the extent you've had voices, look, Al Sharpton now, was it this just yesterday, preaching in a big Baptist church where the late Michael Brown's stepfather goes, 2,500 people, as I read the reports, he's basically saying, oh, there's more to come with this. And there's, you know, federal investigation, and we haven't seen justice yet. In other words, we don't like the court verdict. And my reading of the evidence, it says that all those at the grand jury were wrong, or their verdict was wrong. I do not believe that helps. I could care less if he's green, if he's Martian, if he's blue, if he's speaking to green people. It's immaterial. What he's saying is wrong. Yeah, the Martin Luther King quote, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I address things plainly and openly, and for that, I'm told by some I don't have the right to because I don't have the right skin color. That's bogus. That's bogus. Content of our character is what matters. And then we listen to gain perspective where we may not have it. By the way, Thomas, I can't devote a show to debating you when I have scores of other callers on hold and trying to get through. Give me a reason to single you out and silence everybody else. Fair enough?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go right back to the phones as we continue to talk through these issues and hopefully learn from each other. Let's go to Barbara in Baja, California. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
No, thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you so very much for what you do each and every day. Please, please, please do not stop. If you stop, what will I do? As an African-American female, a 66-year-old woman, a 90% disabled vet, I want to hear truth. That's why I turn you on, because I know you're going to speak truth. It grieves my spirit when I hear callers calling in, the intellectuals. The disconnect is between the intellect and the heart, the spirit. They have the knowledge, but they don't have the wisdom. I spent 30 years in the Navy. I come back to the United States of America, and I think I'm in the 60s again. Dr. Brown, do not stop what you're doing.
Barbara, thank you so much for the call, and be assured, I have no possibility of stopping this. I was going to say, I don't know how to stop speaking the truth. It's in my heart. It's who I am. There's no more danger of that than that I'll just decide to jump out a window of the Empire State Building. So, yeah, you left me tongue-tied. That was it. Thank you, Barbara. And I know you speak for many others. It's my joy.
I love you. I love you. You will never know how you have saved my life. You'd never know. When I came out of that cancer fog 5-6 years ago and I heard this voice in my bedroom speaking truth, every day I will follow you. I don't care what color you are. You can be polka dot as long as you're speaking truth. And I know you are, because it's coming from the Word of God. So for all those Christians out there, okay, that aren't connected, what does God's Word say? You took my quote from Reverend Martin Luther King, color of skin, content of character. Please, people. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. Do not let Satan continue to deceive you. Thank you, Dr. Brown, for what all you do. Shalom, brother. Shalom.
Shalom to you, Barbara. Thank you for the gracious words. Much, much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Alan, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael Brown. I wanted to weigh in because I'm definitely a fan of yours. I agree with you very much. You like the previous caller said, you bring out a lot of truth, and you're theologically correct. I have to disagree with you today.
Go for it.
On one point, when you say that we're using, the wrong role model? Is that what you said? I'm not sure.
Yeah, if... Yeah, if it, since there are yeah, since there are very real yeah, there are very real issues that we need to address.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the reason why I disagree, because you brought up a point that I was going to bring up about Rosa Parks. She was not the first one. There were quite a number who did what she did before she did, but they needed the right role model. Back then, I would say what you're saying today is true, and it was necessary for them to do that. In this day, in 2014, I disagree. I don't think it's necessary, and I'll tell you why. Ever since the 60s, when we first saw those on television with them spraying the blacks in the South with the water hoses, and ever since then, now that we have TV, there's national and international broadcasting, the world has been able to see constantly over and over again the racism and prejudice from the police and whatnot. And now we get to this point where Trayvon Martin, the boy was stalked like in predatory style and slaughtered. You got Eric Gardner. I mean, it was unnecessary for that man to be killed by the police. You look at the 12-year-old boy. I'm sure you saw the video. They showed that boy being killed. They drove up, and in a matter of seconds, he's shot dead. I personally do not believe if that 12-year-old boy was white that he would have been killed. Then you look at the black guy in New York recently walking down the steps. It was dark, and two policemen coming up in the dark with his gun drawn, hands on the trigger, safety off. He doesn't see him. He hears them, and he just shoots and kills the boy. Now you're looking at your namesake. Yes, it shows that he had criminal activity. But the point is, Wilson, when he found out that he was in the store and committed a crime, I believe that this is the thing that sparked his mind to say, all right, this is a criminal. So when he confronted him, he was looking at him differently than he would if he hadn't gotten that information. The way he shot that boy and killed him, though he may have been committed criminal acts, the criminal acts that Michael Brown committed were nowhere near worthy of him being killed. That's like when I got robbed.
All right, yeah, so hang on. I'll just two points, okay? The first is use one of those other examples then. In other words, we have better examples that will not cause such controversy. That's the first thing. The second thing is
it doesn't matter. It's another day.
Let me just if it's also true that he tried to get the officer's gun, as there are black witnesses who say that's what happened. There's too much controversy surrounding this one. If he tries to get the officer's gun and then charges him, every officer would say, okay, then you may have to shoot. You may have to shoot to kill. So that's my point. I'm trying to help the cause, not hurt it. If it was simply, look, when you have this physical image of an intimidating guy at the convenience store in a robbery, okay, and with violence against another man, shoving him, and then you have the reports with forensic evidence indicating the first gunshot went off in the car. Why? In the car, and then black witnesses saying that my namesake Michael Brown charged him. There's just too much controversy. I'm trying to draw attention to the problem, and I'm saying this is a bad strategy. So that's the whole point. Can you at least see that perspective? And we can disagree. That's fine. We can have respectful disagreement, and that's fine. But that's the point I'm trying to make. Simply an issue of better strategy. Because of the controversy surrounding this and eyewitness testimony saying that Michael Brown charged the officer or tried to take the gun from him, that there was a struggle that ensued there. So that's my point. Use one of the other cases. There are enough terrible cases. I'm with you on that, Alan. I think I raised the Eric Garner one, sir, and someone said that immediately police said this was done wrong and immediately said we have to look into it. But why was it done wrong? Why so many cases like this? Why? That's what we need to discuss. I'm trying to get it to a better place of discussion. But if we disagree, that's fine. I respect the call, and I appreciate your input. Friends, take a minute. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Check on this week's special offer. I think you're going to want to take advantage of it. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I wrote an article. We're not going to get to discuss this today, but it's called Since When Has the Gospel Been Popular? You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, clicking on latest article. And when you're there, be sure to check out the special resource offer this week. Watch the video about the Tree of Life Bible and how you can get it at a special discount this week. Make a great holiday gift or great to get for yourself. But I raised the question in this article. I'm going to tie it back into our discussion today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I asked the question that we've been asking a lot in Christian circles in America. Okay, what's wrong? Why are people leaving church? Why are less people identifying as Christian? Why does the gospel have a negative connotation in people's minds? And some say, well, it's because we've gotten too politicized. It's because we talk about abortion, homosexuality. Others say, well, look, we've just been hypocrites and it's just religious tradition. And certain parts of the criticism, I believe, are right and accurate. Absolutely so. Right and accurate. And we have to ask, does the society associate us with purity or corruption or with integrity or with scandal or with compassion or with selfishness? Back in 1989, in my book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, I wrote, this is 1989, so 25 years ago, look at our American scene today. The reproach we suffer is not for the Messiah's sake. We are not scorned because of our militant stand. No, we are mocked because of our leader's sins, because of our failure to be holy and clean. Gospel and greed seem to go hand in hand, and our society equates evangelists with exploiter, yet Jesus is the head of the body. How can this be? That's what I wrote back in 1989. So by all means, we ask those honest questions, but we are quite wrong in thinking that the gospel is going to be popular. We are quite wrong in thinking that people of darkness will love the light, that the ungodly will love godliness, that the rebellious and self-righteous will love the message of repentance. So we need not to measure blessing and success solely by response, by crowd numbers, by popularity. Yes, we seek to have a good reputation with outsiders. We let our light shine before men. We should demonstrate mercy and compassion and justice. All of these things, integrity, that should be our middle name, so to say. At the same time, if we're trying to be accepted by people, we'll often be rejected by God. At the same time, if we think the world will like us, then why did the world hate Jesus? And why did the world hate the apostles and followers of Jesus through the centuries? You say, okay, what's that got to do with the subject at hand? When we reached out at gay pride events or had prayer meetings across the street from a gay pride event or shared the gospel in it, we had everyone sign a pledge that they would walk in grace, that they would not harass, that they would overcome if people spoke hateful things to them, that they would reply with grace. Everyone had a sign to that. We brought it to the local police and they said, man, if everything that we had to deal with was like this, it would be wonderful. Well, according to Bradley Dean in an article on WorldNet Daily, he said every participant in civil rights marches back in the 60s was required to sign the following pledge before they could participate. Meditate on teachings of Jesus daily. Remember that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not just victory. Walk and talk in the matter of love, charity, for God is love. Pray daily to be used by God. Sacrifice personal needs. Greed has to go out the window. Observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. Seek to perform regular service for others and for the world. Refrain from the violence of fist, tongue, or heart. Strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health. Follow the directions of the movement and of the captain of the demonstration. My point is, if we want to deal with the issues having to do with injustice suffered by minorities, injustice suffered by Black America, then to the extent we can do it with the right role models, examples, and leaders, it can be done much more effectively. Let's nail the real issues together.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can you tell me who Zemer Bejic is? You say who? Is that like a basketball player or a soccer player from Yugoslavia or something? No, a 32-year-old white man beaten to death yesterday, coming back from a bar with his wife in the car. Four black teens got in the way of his car, hit it. He got out, and four of them beat him to death with a hammer. How come we don't hear about that nationally? How come that's not reported? Where the white protest marches? You say, well, Mike, now you're completely missing the point. That's terrible. That's tragic. But that's not happening every day. No, all kinds of horrible things are happening every day. All kinds of horrible things are happening every day. Blacks killing whites killing blacks, whites killing whites, and so on and so forth. All kinds of horrible things. If we're going to draw attention to something tragic and wrong, let's get the best case scenario to do it. 866-34-TRUTH. Rosa in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon.
I am from Baltimore. I attended Morgan State. In 1961, I shook the hand of Dr. Martin Luther King, and I consider myself a child of the King. I am 74 years old. I was so shocked to hear the words of, I shouldn't say shock, of Farrakhan. He has always been a rabble-rouser. Where was he during the election? Was he telling people to go and vote? Where is he on this minimum wage thing? I didn't even know he was still alive. I cannot believe that they would even allow him. And like I said, I was shocked because it was Morgan State. And I was so proud of that school when they got university status. But as you, what you just finished saying about Jesus, about they hated him, they didn't follow him. He spoke love and they didn't follow him. Obama, President Obama, and I went to his inauguration. President Obama is not a rabble-rouser. These people who speak against him, and especially now with so many horrible things going on, not just Michael Brown, not just Trayvon Martin, not just the white man that got beaten to death with a hammer. How horrible. There are so many things that are going on, and it seems that the peaceful people are the people that are being attacked. Why on earth, where has Louis Farrakhan been when there are issues to help the minority? When Malcolm X spoke out, look at what happened to him.
Yeah, Rosa, I appreciate the call, and it's great to hear about your heritage, your history. And look, I got mocked on Twitter by someone who's no longer, we don't allow personal insults and attacks on social media. So when we see it persistently, if we spot it, we block the person so that we can have constructive interaction. People disagree all they want. That's perfectly fine. But otherwise, it just disappears, gets blocked, and that's that. Because we're not going to allow it to distract from the larger issues we're trying to discuss. But I get mocked for saying that Ben Carson is a better voice for Black America than Louis Farrakhan or even Al Sharpton. So take your pick. Take your pick. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to our friend Bishop Harris in Durham. Yeah, I do remember last call. I ran out of time. So you're on the air, sir.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? I want to let you know we love you. I love you. I see myself as a spiritual Jew. I got the Star of David on my Stop the Violence truck. I got the Star of David on my church van. I was confronted by African American who thought that the Star of David might have represented the mark of the beast or represented the Crip game sign. I had to let them know. I say that to let you know my love and my compassion for the Jews. But at the same time, Dr. King said we have a right to agree or disagree without resulting to disagreeable differences.
Sure.
And as I shared with you about the white mother who had said, I'm going to save this black kid. He was 13 and she took him put him in an all-white predominant neighborhood, and he was attacked, just like Trayvon Martin, walking down the street. He was stalked. He was busting the head, trying to open his door. His mother looked at the man and said, you know, this is crazy. What are you doing to my son? This is my son. You know, he never asked him any questions. He told the judge when he went to court, I attacked him for being black. I also told you how I was beat down like Rodney King. Told you how I was, you know, almost shot just like Trayvon Martin with a Zimmerman incident. But I'm about love and I'm about peace. But when you said that the pro players, or let's say the college players who are holding their hands in the air, I'm about peaceful protests. You know, I disagree that with their peaceful protests that they're trying to draw attention to themselves. Even in the 60s, they put up the black power sign, not to be derogative, but they put it up because of so much injustice. There's been 14 murders of black teenagers since Mr. Brown, Dr. Brown, not you, but the man whose name like you.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
You know, it's been 14 teen murders since this man death. I mean, it could go on and on. I want us to heal. I speak love. I speak peace. I speak my protesters in peace. You know, I'm about peace. But sometimes society and even Jews, you got races in every nationality.
They're not insensitive.
They're not insensitive to African Americans' plight and what they're going through.
You're 100% right. Yeah, 100% right on that, sir.
Let me just get ready to close out, but I want to say this real quick. I listen to you every day. I'm going to love you regardless of what you say, but sometimes even what you say is insensitive, and yet still I still love you, and I still listen, and I have Jewish friends that sometimes we disagree. I still love them, and you know, we're going to disagree, but the real issue is there is a problem with profiling blacks and killing blacks. They are so many, I don't want to use the word so many. Yes, we have thugs in the black community, but you have thugs in each community. And you have, we need to be about healing and peace and bringing about the peace. And that's what I'm about. I got beat like Rodney King. I can speak. I got shot like George Zimmerman. I forgave everybody who did me harm. All the police profile. This is something I live. This is something I've been through.
Yeah.
I have a voice. I am the founder of Stop the Violence Crusade for Christ. I have a voice. I teach love. I teach nonviolence. If I was killed today by a white man or police, my wishes was that people would stand up in peace, to protest in peace. But let's not complain when they stand up in peace.
All right. To be perfectly clear, first, thank you for sharing all that. I want you to know that after that show, when I was talking to my wife and my family that had just arrived in for Thanksgiving, I told your story to them. Okay. I told the story about the white woman who had adopted the black son. I told that story to my family to say that this is a perspective that white America often doesn't get. So you have an advocate here. My point is that this is the wrong. I am all for peaceful protests. I totally support that. The problem with what the NFL players did was that it is provoking, it's in the midst of constant calls for violence using that same sign, you know, let me just finish, okay? Then I'll go right back to you. The problem is that according to the forensic evidence, that's not what happened. That there's no autopsy evidence that said that my namesake, 18-year-old namesake, was killed with his hands up. There are different witnesses that say that he was charging. Some say he wasn't. Some admit they were just repeating what they heard. My point is, let us take one of the other cases where you don't have the stepfather calling to burn the city down, where you don't have videotape of a violent robbery earlier, and where you don't have forensic evidence that seems to indicate a battle for Officer Wilson's gun. Let's find another case, and then let's rally together. I it would be a privilege and honor to march down the street, literally, arm in arm with you, standing for justice and standing to expose injustice against black Americans. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm sorry if it sounds insensitive. I genuinely am. I'm trying to do.
I feel you, but at the same time, like I say, in the 60s, when they took a stand and they are doing the Olympics and they put up the Black Power sign. You gotta understand when Trayvon Martin and all the athletes all over the world, LeBron James and everybody else, they wore hoods. It is their way of expressing pain because you go yes. through you know about anti-Semitism, but we go through racism from the time blacks were put on the slave ship over here until today, 2014. It's been a constant pain and injustice. So I mean, they're human beings. I'd rather see people wear hoods or hold their hands up. Protest because they're in pain. Don't think because they're celebrities and they're athletes.
I understand. Hey, we got a break, sir, but I wanted to give you as much time as possible. By the way, I separated with Miami Heat wearing hoods earlier in the broadcast from the St. Louis Rams players yesterday. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, straight to the phones. Josh, all right, lost Josh. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Lost Dallas. Go back to Charlotte. Derek in Charlotte, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about, I keep hearing you. First of all, I want to let you know this is my second time calling on the show. I love the show. I love the fact that you are open-minded. You make sure you let the listeners know that you're not perfect and you're not saying that you understand everything in regards to race relations, but you're at least giving it a shot, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. With that being said, you keep bringing up the evidence that the grand jury saw, and you almost have to be an African American to look at that information. You keep talking about it. I hear a lot of white Americans talk about that. Talk about all the evidence like it's a gospel, or if it's blasphemous talk against the evidence that they seemingly to Black America, and I'm going to be the spokesperson for Black America today.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Cooked up this information. I don't think there's a Black person alive in this country that believes that the police department and the prosecution did not cook up this evidence. They had 3 months to do it. This is so bad. They almost
hey, Derek, hang on 1 second. I don't know if you got the window open or something, but I can barely hear you. It sounds like really loud blowing on there. So let's try to get that sorted out because I do want to hear what you had to say. All right. So Derek, while we sort that out, let me just say this. First, there were quite a few African Americans, according to the grand jury, who testified that young Michael Brown, I just say young Michael Brown to distinguish from me, attacked Officer Wilson. That is African-American witnesses who said that. So do we discount them? That's what I'm wondering about. And then Charles Barkley, he's Black. He said there's not a single Black American. By the way, I've had other Black callers that said, yeah, of course we accept the evidence or agree with it, or that's what the evidence said. I wrote about how you could argue it either way based on testimonies and questions. That's what I wrote. But here's what Charles Barkley said. The true story came out from the grand jury testimony. He said that he was made aware of, quote, key forensic evidence and several Black witnesses that supported Officer Darren Wilson's story. And he also said that, he called the protesters, the violent protesters, by a bad name, and said there's no excuse for people to be out there burning down people's businesses, burning down police cars. And he said, you know how bad some of these neighborhoods would be if it wasn't for the cops. This is Charles Barkley, outspoken Black athlete. So, Derek, I'm just saying that I don't think that all of Black Americans think that the evidence was cooked up. And now you have a federal investigation led by a Black attorney general still looking into all of this. So, but I've said for many years, though, that white America needs to find out why Black America is so skeptical of these things. White America was shocked when O.J. was acquitted. Black America rejoiced in broad terms. So I'm saying we need to understand why there's so much questioning. But all I'm saying is here we have eyewitness African-American testimonies who corroborated what Officer Wilson said. We have the videotape evidence of what happened just a little bit before. And we have, from what the grand jury heard, they came to a certain conclusion. So I'm saying find a better case if you want to draw attention to police brutality and injustice in the court system. I'm an advocate for that.
Dr. Brown, it's like you're telling Black America to take the information that we give you and just shut up. This is a truth. First of all, Charles Barkley is not respected in the Black community as a voice of reason. A lot of people really look at him as a joke. And
I only mentioned him because you said there's not a single Black American, so I just used him as
an
overstatement.
I'm saying a mass of Black people. And let me tell you something else that goes on in the hood in regards to witnesses. First of all, in most poor and Black communities, that's where most crime happens. That's where most drug deals go down. So sad to say, you can almost throw a stone in most Black neighborhoods. I'm talking about poor Black neighborhoods, and find somebody that has a record. So it's not hard. This is what usually happens. It's not hard in criminal cases like this. If say you got five witnesses and they're African-American young men, it's not hard that three of those young men have priors. So all they have to do is pull those young men to the side and say, look, we don't want to throw an extra charge on you. I mean, they find ways to threaten these young men because they already have priors, gun possession, drugs. So it's not hard for them to make them change their stories. And all of a sudden, you got four Black people that said they agree with Officer Wilson's story. I'm saying that all the evidence came from the police department and the prosecution. It's just not fair. And then you had nine white people on the jury that were from that area. It almost reminds me of the
fifth. All right, but hang on, Derek. Can I talk to you honestly, like you talk to me?
Sir.
All right, as respectful adults talking to one another. Here's my problem. I brought up on the air that the fact you had a white prosecutor and nine whites and three Blacks is people are going to question it just based on that. Okay. I brought that up on the radio. I wrote about that. All right. Mm-hmm. Yet what concerns me is that it seems that no amount that a witness could look you in the face, Derek, and say, I was there and I saw it, and you're still going to distrust it. In other words, I feel like there's a bias that goes the other way. That when you hear the case, immediately you got the guy convicted as guilty, and that's a blind spot there.
Because you have to walk in our shoes, Dr. Brown. I am a law-abiding citizen. I've never been in trouble, but I've been harassed by police officers, and I'm 39 years old, and I can't imagine you find many Black men who haven't had shared experiences. They've had guns,
and you have helped. Right. You've helped educate me to that. When I say you, I mean you and other Black callers. I've known it existed, but over the years, hearing more and more instances, that's helped fuel what I'm writing and fuel the perspective of solidarity and trying to bring that to the attention of white America. But here, just something to think about. All right. And we can chat again because I'm out of time.
Can I make one more point? Can I make one more point?
Real quick.
I just want to say that I work with African-American youth. And I was also an African-American youth. And for the most part, what ends up happening is you get officers like Officer Wilson. They're from a rural part of a city. And all of a sudden, you get these young men and put them in an urban area where they have had zero interactions with African-Americans. And anything that they've heard about them has always been something frightening, damaging, that these people are violent. And now you give them a gun.
Hang on. I'm out of time. I actually took my own time that I needed to give you that extra little minute there out of respect, sir. But ask yourself a question. Are you biased in another way so that you can't even trust the justice system at all, even when it's doing right? Please chew on it, because I chew on what you say to me. Thank you for the conversation. We're out of time. Go to AskDrBrown.org, check on latest article and the special resource offer. My bottom line today is this. Let us be open to all sides of truth, however it affects us.